Welcome back, Adam.
Welcome back. We should probably start with that rather than hi. Hi, hi, hi.
Yeah. But hi is cool. People like to be told hi, you know? It's nice getting back into season two, man. Like, I missed over the holidays.
You missed my British accent. Recording.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's funny, too, like, there's, like, British accent, you learn, like, I guess, watching shows and talking to different people that, like...
You always message me quotes from Great British Bake Off, like, Adam, do you say stuff like this? And it's like...
Yeah, of course. You know, well, but more so, like, there's not just one British accent. You know, like, watching Ted Lasso, there's, you know, someone from Manchester and people from London, and like there's just even within London I know there's different accents.
Yeah.
And so like it's the same with American. Like there is no American accent. There's Bostonian.
What's that?
You know, I'm sure you know the Boston accent. Like I think I do an okay one, but I think people from Boston will probably disagree. But Boston's, you know, it's the Mocky Mock kind of accent where that's, you sound like you don't go down to the Harbor because that's too crowded. You know, tired of going to townie bars, you know, that kind of Englander.
You sounded like part Aussie then as well.
Yeah, well, and that's, I think there's a lot of like other accents mixed into American accents that influence them and stuff. But yeah, so it's Southern accents. I have a Southern accent, apparently. Not a strong one, but I remember I moved to Philly and my jump rope broke. And I walked up to the girl behind the counter and I was like, hey, do y'all have tape back there? And she goes, she was like, where are you from? And I was like, Florida? And I don't hear it. I get that it exists because of some of the words I use. And Florida's not the South, even though it's a Southern state. It's like Switzerland. You know, the bottom of Florida is North Cuba. The, you know, lower Alabama area is the Panhandle. Then you got Southern Georgia, which is where I grew up, Tallahassee. You know, so Florida's got a little bit of everything going on.
Fair play.
Yeah, like real, my family grew up in Alabama. Like that's, we're not going to the Nass Walmart. Yeah, we're going to the other Walmart today. The Nass one's too far out of town. Like that was, yeah, that's what I grew up with. See, so like, I didn't think I had a Southern accent.
All the accents are so like subtle changes. Like when you do them all, I'm like, oh my God, like it's American, but like different America. But I couldn't tell you like where in America each accent is.
Same thing with Britain. You know, like I can recognize that they're different, but I wouldn't be able to like, hear it and be like, oh, that's a Northern Mancunian accent. Yeah, that I just learned that word last week. Yeah.
Yeah, you did. Are we doing an episode on accents?
Yeah, that's it. And also to clarify, my friend Bryn, she is a Man U. She's a Red.
Oh yeah, from that other episode. Oh yeah.
Yeah, clear that one up.
Of course.
But yeah, today, what are we talking about, Adam? I think we brought something cool up that would be fun to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I think the health and fitness industry has grown so big that everyone's trying to go into a specific niche in health and define different parts of health. And so I think it's important to go back to the overall definition of what is health or what is healthy, because I think it's overcomplicated these days.
Yeah, this is something very near and dear to me, you know, so I think this will be a good episode. And I do think we actually talked before we started recording that we are going to, just from a structural standpoint, like sometimes we will try to point counterpoint and take up a defensive stance against each other. But I think sometimes it's us versus the world, you know, and that's, you know, I think this is going to probably be one of those, maybe we'll see, but where we are both in agreement as far as how we view or think about health, and it's going to be debating the common bullshit that's out there in the ether as opposed to me versus you and forcing one of us to take the stance that we maybe don't agree with.
Yeah. But on the plus, on the opposite end of the spectrum, I just want to throw out there, if anyone ever disagrees with us, please like let us know on our Instagram page, and we'd love to have you on as a guest. Obviously, respectful disagreement, but let's have a challenging conversation, but in a healthy way.
Yeah. Oh, if we strike a chord, reach out. We'll work you into the schedule and get you recording.
Remember our Instagram, a healthy debate on Instagram, yeah? Yeah, reach out, drop us a DM, say, I don't agree with you on this. And we won't argue on Instagram. We'll say, hey, just come on, let's have a chat.
And we are both committed to, I'm going to start making more clips of episodes and Adam's going to turn them into posts. So we will have more engagement on there for you to comment on and say, I don't agree with this.
We'll always respond to messages anyway.
All right. So what is health? You know, how do you define health is, I guess, the what we're looking at. And so I guess, where's the bullshit in this? You know, what do you feel is the...
I think
the problem.
Before going to the bullshit, we need to clarify, like, what is the purpose of health? Why do we need health? Why do we need to be healthy? What is the purpose?
What a statement. What a question. I think this is going to be the core of the episode, answering this question right here, and why I disagree with the health. And I think your videos on Instagram that you sometimes get flack for actually point out the issue, and something that I agree with is health is very hard to define. Unfortunately, the definition of healthy uses the word health. The only one that doesn't says a part of the body not diseased or in good physical condition. So, you know, what does that mean? And to me, it depends. You know, that's one of the big things we learn in grad school is one of our favorite answers is it depends, because in order to define healthy, you know, I think if you look at it from the lens of America, where, you know, 80 to 90% of people are either overweight, obese, diabetic, have heart disease, or some combination of those ailments, then health is all geared towards that. Most of the messaging here is reduce calorie intake, you know, eat more lean meats, whole grains, fruits, vegetables. And I'm not saying those things are not healthy behaviors, but that is the only thing that is talked about in large scale for health is weight loss and the ailments that tend to go with having a high body weight, like diabetes, the preventable diseases that are, you know, lifestyle and nutrition focused.
Yeah, cardiovascular disease and all of them. Yeah, I completely agree. I think a lot of people are confusing things like health with longevity of life. If you are healthy, then you have a better quality of life than everyone else. But you have to remember, like, health is such a broad spectrum of not just nutrition and good looks. It's also the quality of life you live, which, you know, if we start bringing stress into the conversation, that is also classified as health. If you're healthy, you have the chances to live longer, but it doesn't guarantee longer life. And so, you know, anyone could get hit by a car or a bus tomorrow. And so I would define health personally as being able to live a good quality of life for the time period that you can live it.
When you take care of your stress levels and, you know, meditate and do things, have a good mindset towards life, see a therapist. What do you call that? What's the overarching term?
Mental health, I know.
Health, you know, like, I mean, that is an aspect of health that people will overlook for exercising themselves into we've talked about it before with a couple episodes ago, where, like, if you hate an exercise and you're just doing it for the physical health aspect, you're ignoring your mental health in order to lose weight or burn calories or do the thing that someone on Instagram said that you should or is the best or whatever, you know. So, you know, I do think it's, like you said, it's multifaceted. It's not just your physical health, how you look, but it's also your mental health, how you feel. It's your quality of life. Are you actually enjoying the life you're living, or are you constantly? And actually, there's a really cool book that I'm almost done with, just started reading, called The Power of Now.
Oh, yeah,
by Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, you know, it's very much where, like, he talks about there is no other time to focus on you know, it's, this is about meditation and enlightenment, but it's like, it's now. There's nothing, you know, there is no better future that's going to make you more prepared to take care of yourself. It's now.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do have this mindset of, oh, if I just get this taken care of, if I just lose these weights, if I just lose, you know, lift these weights, if I just get to a better job or make more money, there's always some condition as to why they're not healthy or not taking care of their health.
Or happy.
Right. And I was actually coming at this originally from a different direction. So I think that health is a contextual statement. And we'll go at it purely from a nutritional lens.
Okay.
So I've made the point, and correct me or argue with me if you don't agree, but almost like specifically in nutrition, there's a very like vehement belief system. Like you buy into this diet type or these foods or whatever it is, more so than almost anything else. If I took squats, if I said squats are the best exercise on the planet, and as you, if you listened to our last episode, you would know that we don't believe there's a single best exercise for whatever result. But nobody's going to say squats are stupid and they're bad for you. They might not agree that squats are the best exercise on the planet. They'd be like, yeah, squats are great, but I like this exercise better. Or I think this exercise is better for these reasons. It's a yes, but statement, not a like you're stupid and should kill yourself for saying that. But with nutrition, we get that. Yeah. You know, if you're eating these foods off yourself, you have no value in this world. You know, if you've ever had sugar in your life, you might as well just, you know, resign yourself to an insane asylum. You know, so it's very intense. And I don't think there is such a thing as a single healthy food. Meaning, I think it all depends on context. You can take whatever you think is the healthiest food on the planet, and I can give you an example of how it's being misused or how it's being overconsumed. You can take the least healthy food on the planet, whatever you think that is, and I can give you an example or a context of where it might be necessary to consume.
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of like, and I actually had a weight gain client recently, and we have an episode planned for that, because I do think they're lost in the ether. Most people are struggling with losing weight in, you know, modern first world countries. The people that need to gain weight have very few resources out there to how do you gain weight, because they're told whole grains, avoid processed foods, eat lean meats, you know, don't eat any of these things. Sugar is terrible for you. So now you have someone struggling to gain weight, avoiding foods that could help them get extra calories in and put on weight. And it's because they're told that the foods that could help them are universally unhealthy and should not be consumed.
I mean, it's a very interesting conversation, this one. I think the reason why people feel like they can demonize or say a certain food does something versus another food is because we've got to the point in life where science is evolving and people are able to break down like molecules and atoms to a point where it wasn't able to be done like 10, 20, 30 years ago. And so we're able to see things in such a scientific way. People are taking away the human value of what something has. And so I understand from a scientific point of view, people can turn around and look at things and go, oh, well, guess what? If you consume this amount of sugar for 3 weeks, look at the negative effects it actually has on your body, right? Okay, cool. Well, guess what? You learned something that we didn't know before, right? There's still a time and a place where someone might need sugar. When someone's dizzy and about to faint in the gym or something, you're not going to go give them like a protein bar or like, you know, here, have some avocado. You're going to go give them sugar, right? So there's a time and a place where something is needed for a benefit. And it's not everything's bad, but I feel like people hone in on science so much that like everything has to fit in a category of good or bad these days.
Sugar, I think, is one of them where it's so vilified. And as we've stated, and we both believe, sugar does not make you fat. I do believe that the nature of sugar is that it is easy to overconsume, and that can make you fat. But sugar in moderation has no impact on body weight. You know, they've done ample research on high carb versus low carb in a calorie controlled environment, and there is a negligible or non-existent difference in the amount of weight lost. So yeah, I mean, carbs, sugar, etc., like, can they be overconsumed and cause weight gain? Sure, but almost anything can. Yeah, there are absolutely environments like athletes. Good luck being a top-tier endurance athlete without sugar. You know, if you're a marathoner and you're not consuming sugar in any way, shape, or form, you are going to be a subpar or low-tier marathoner for your entire career. It is too high intensity. Like, you just can't run. I mean, the guys that are out there doing it in 2 hours, or the women that are out there doing it in two and change, or between 2 and 3 hours, like, that's fueled by sugar. There's no beating around the bush on that. It's the highest octane of fuel you can consume, and it's the only way to replenish energy during a workout. So right there, sugar is healthy for athletes, for endurance athletes. It's not unhealthy. It's not even neutrally healthy. It is actively healthy for their performance.
And just to add on to that, why are you these athletes, you know, in the Olympics, etc., why they're not fat if they're consuming X amount of sugar, right?
Right, so, yeah, because they're also expending X plus amount of energy.
What? So it's got nothing to do with sugar? What?
Yeah. Oh my God. So, and I always used to use this as just a fun example, like gut reaction. I'm going to describe a food and I want you to tell me if it's healthy or unhealthy. So it's about 70 to 80% fat by weight. It's incredibly high in salt. It's about 200 calories per ounce or per 28 grams. And it contains very little protein.
Bread?
No, it's almonds or nuts. You would think it's unhealthy just based on how I explained it. You know, it's fatty, it's high in sodium, it's high in calorie, it's lower in protein. Like, also, side note, I think one of the greatest lies ever told is that nuts are a protein source. It bothers me to my core. I still hear dietitians to this day saying, like, oh, try nuts. It's like, nuts have protein.
But they're way more fat than they are protein.
Right, and the calorie per protein is insane. No. So it's like eating nuts to get protein is like drinking martinis to get olives.
I like that.
It's there. It's not your most effective source, but like, yeah, it counts. I'm not saying the protein in it doesn't count, but it's also like if you're using nuts as a predominant source of protein, you're never going to get to your protein goals within your calorie goals.
Yeah, but whereas if you're using nuts to consume unsaturated fats because you have high cholesterol, it's a completely different story, right?
Correct.
It's context.
Well, yeah. What is the context? And so what are your health goals, I think, becomes the question in hand. And that's how we define if something is healthy. And so foods individually are not healthy or unhealthy. You know, I think there are some foods that can be consumed ad libitum, meaning you can have as much as you want, as often as you want, without really thinking about it, and it's almost never going to cause any issues or concerns. Sure, we could probably call those foods healthy. So the foods and this is, once again, coming from, I mostly work in weight loss, so a weight loss lens, lean proteins, fruits, and veggies. It's really hard to overconsume them. They're very nutrient dense. You know, their calorie per fullness or satiety is awesome. It's tough to eat too many of them or too much of them and run into an issue. It is possible to eat too little of them. But immediately I can flip on the other side of it and say, well, what about someone who's trying to gain weight and doesn't need the fullness? You know, if you eat too much of those quote-unquote healthy foods, they're now getting in the way of consuming enough calories because you're full. Once again, you apply a little bit of context and it throws some of this stuff out the window.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, I always go by the logic of, like, you know, health is always in the middle of somewhere. So too little exercise wouldn't necessarily be good for you, but too much exercise can also not necessarily be good for you, you know, if you don't recover well. You know, from a nutritional standpoint, you can eat high calorie, low nutrient foods as long as you balance it with high nutrient, low calorie foods. You could go and have an all-nighter and get no sleep because you've got loads of tasks that you need to do, which, fair play, on a one-off occasion, brilliant. But do that too regularly, your body will shut down. And if you oversleep, guess what? Your body will be lethargic as well. So, you know, there's so many different aspects to where health lies. I think a lot of people want to hone it down to there is good and bad, but I don't always think there is, which is what I try and associate on my page.
Right in line with that, I think one of my favorite foods to talk about is potato chips.
Crisps?
I love, yeah, crisps, sorry. Yeah, sorry, not chips for you,
for
you
the
Brits.
UK people.
Yeah. Yeah, UK, I'm not talking about fries or British chips. Well, I'm talking about chips or British crisps. But yeah, I love talking about potato chips because I think they are, next to sugar, one of the most vilified foods.
Yeah.
Ultimately, what I want clients to do when I work with them is to stop applying a label of healthy versus unhealthy, good or bad. And I've always made the point, it's an old, you know, saying, if you point your finger, you got three pointing back at you, meaning look at yourself first. You might be the problem or likely are the problem. That's a tough pill to swallow for most people. But foods do not have an agenda. They do not have a morality to them. They are just what they are. And I get it. Yeah, there's advertising and there's, you know, misinformation on the labels and that kind of stuff exists. But if you just look at, you take it out of the package, you put it on the table, it is what it is. It has no morality. So if you stop thinking about chips equals unhealthy, your relationship with chips is unhealthy. And think about the purpose of the food. This can help move past good versus bad, evil versus saintly, or healthy versus unhealthy. So what is the purpose of a chip? I think chips do two things, and they do them better than any other food on the planet.
Go on. Let's
hear it. What would you say is the purpose of a crisp?
Like, I guess, like, potato is a carb, and you know, naturally, it's very palatable. Makes us taste good.
You're thinking about it too much. There you go. Okay. They're crunchy and they taste good.
Yeah.
Be crunchy and taste good. That's what chips do. If that's all you ask them to do, you can use them correctly. And now they might be a nice mental health food. You know, crunchy and taste good is purely, it's sensory. It's not logical.
Right.
So eat things that are more filling with your potato chips, and you let chips do what chips do, which is be crunchy and taste good.
A tuna sandwich with crisps on the side. Oh, so good.
Beautiful. Nice high fiber bread. You know, yeah. So a good sandwich with some veggies on it.
Yeah, and lots of protein. You know,
lots of protein.
With the taste of like crunchy and taste good. Yes.
Yum. Perfect. You know, if I have chips as a snack, I have a piece of fruit. I love the combination of fruit and chips because you got the sweet and the salty right next to each other. Beautiful.
Never tried it.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite snacks, crisps, piece of fruit, protein bar. It's everything you need. It's fiber. It's crunchy. It's salty. It's sweet. Like, it's just a nice 400 calorie. And here's the like drive home point for me is, people will think, I'm hungry or I want a snack, and they'll go grab a bag of chips, and then they'll eat too many chips and they will feel bad about it. They'll overconsume and they'll blame chips. Oh, chips are the problem. No, we have discussed chips for about 2 to 3 minutes now, and we never once mentioned fiber or fullness or protein or satisfaction. Their only satisfaction is being crunchy and taste good. And I don't think there is a substitute on the planet that has the same crunch factor as a good kettle-cooked chip.
With the right amount of salt.
Right. I mean, they're perfect at what they do. If I asked my dog to do the chores and prep the meals for the week before I left to go to work and came home and it wasn't done, can I really, in good conscious health, be pissed at my dog for not doing such activities?
No.
It's not what he's good at. He's good at being cute and making me feel loved unconditionally, which he does very well. You know, but asking him to do something he's not capable of is my fault, setting myself up for failure. So it's like, you know, when you look at chips, it is not the chips that are the problem. It's how you're consuming them and what you're asking of them. Let chips be what chips are, which is crunchy and taste good. And apply that to every food.
Then people try and make excuses with themselves and say, oh, but it's they're addictive. Sugar's addictive, this and that. Because that's a conversation for another day, though.
We've mentioned it a couple times that it is debatable, like scientifically debated, whether food addiction, not even individual food addictions, whether or not food addiction exists.
Have we done an episode on that before?
We did one on sugar addiction.
Let's
I don't
do
think
one,
we've
on
done one on
food addiction. Let's do that one. Okay. Time.
Sweet. Yeah. So. Yeah, man. I think it's I think we drove it home pretty well. I hope we get some engagement on this one because it's a
it's an important message.
I think it's something that a lot of people struggle with too. Is placing the label healthy versus unhealthy, good versus bad, creates this duality of food.
You know, we're not living in a superhero movie, you know what I mean?
Right. And some people vastly overconsume healthy, quote unquote healthy foods. And don't reach the goals they want because they're crushing 1,000 calories of nuts or seeds. I mean, almonds have actually started becoming part of the problem with inflammation. There's an ideal omega-3-6 ratio that needs to be achieved for proper inflammation management. And that number is about 4 or 6 to 1.
I thought
omega
it was
6 to 3. So that's even better, but it's somewhere in the low, under 10.
I got a test done, and like mine came up as 11 to 1 actually, considering, and this guy was shocked that mine was so good because he says that most people come out at 20 to 1.
Yep, 26 to 1 is the average.
Wow.
You know, and so when you look at some of the foods out there, most foods that we just place unsaturated fats into a healthy bucket. But almonds are approximately 2,000 to 1 omega-6s to 3s. And it's because they just have negligible omega-3s in them.
Wow.
And so people think like, oh, almond, it's the nut. It's the nut that you have to consume. Peanuts are about 10 times better than almonds in that omega-6 to 3 ratio. 200 to 1. Not good, but better than almond. You know, and so... I'm not saying almonds are unhealthy, but I think they've taken over as like the nut to consume. It's almonds, it's almond butter, it's you know, that's great for California. They're raking it in with their almond growth, but it's, you know, walnuts, which have the best omega-3-6 ratio, is you know, they're lost in the ether.
Yeah.
And so it's just one of those examples of let's look deeper. Let's think about it deeper. And I don't even get that deep in the weeds with it. Just
I love peanuts.
Yeah, I do too. Peanut butter is so much better than almond butter. It's not even close. There's no debate to be had there. No, peanut butter smashes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so apply a purpose to your foods. That's my final message is what is the purpose of the food and are you using it for said purpose? And that can help you move towards better, healthier you. Not healthier foods.
I completely agree. Understand the benefit of how that impacts your life. And if it doesn't have maximal benefit, doesn't mean you can't consume it. Just find an alternative way to consume it.
Correct. Yep. Cool. Well, I think we have a research episode coming up soon. And Adam just mentioned food addiction.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I will place those on the
agenda.
The docket. And then, like he said, if you want to come on, if you feel like something resonates, if you have a different topic, comment on our Instagram. We'll try to set something up and have you come on and record with us.
Let's do it. We're always open to guests.
Later, y'all.
Bye.
A healthy debate is sugar positive and likely contains gluten and peanuts. This episode was produced by Blair Solberger. Adam doesn't help with editing in any way, shape, or form. Please remember to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on Instagram at A Healthy Debate or email us at ahealthydebatepodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.